anything about me, I'm talking about God. This is Canon Christian Combos, the podcast.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Canon Christian Combos, the podcast. I'm your host, Morwa. For those of you who don't know me, hi. I've been gone for a minute. I have. And so I just figured I might as well start off by acknowledging the elephant in the room. I've been gone for a minute. And I appreciate all of you who checked on me, who DM'd me, sent me messages asking me when the next episode was coming out, and I couldn't give anyone a concrete answer. And we'll get into that a little bit in this episode. But yeah, I realize I haven't put out an episode since maybe last summer. And yeah, that's been a long time. I ain't gonna front. That's been a minute. But what matters is I'm back. There's a time and a season for everything under the sun. That's what Solomon says in Ecclesiastes. So can I get an amen? Amen. This is clearly the time for me to be back. And I'm here. How y'all been? Y'all been good? I know you can't really respond, but I hope you guys have been well. And yeah, without further ado, let's just kind of get into the episode. I feel kind of rusty. I haven't spoken to you, but like it feels like talking to myself in a while. And let's see if I remember how to do this. So I thought that I could make this episode one about my value system, because my value system has a lot to do with why I was gone and why I couldn't give you guys an answer when you asked me when I was coming back. And so let's get into it. The first reason is a big value for me, or a big part of my ethos, is living an authentic life. What does that mean? It means being able to show up in the spaces I show up in authentically. Last year, I feel like everybody says this, but like last year almost took me out. Like, I'm not even joking. I'm not even exaggerating. Like, it almost took me out. My relationship with God went through different valleys, some mountaintops, obviously, but some real, real valleys. You know those memes that are like, God, why does it feel like these weapons are prospering? Why does it feel like this valley of the shadow of death is really trying to kill me? That's what I was going through. And so for me, it was a bit inauthentic to show up in this space and be encouraging you guys in your faith, or talking about my faith like there wasn't a bunch of stuff going on for me. Some might say that that's a flaw, but I have just never been able to put up a front or pretend like I'm not going through what I am. So I just figured, you know what, I'm gonna take a step back, deal with my issues, you know, put on your own mask before you try and help someone put on theirs. That's kind of what I was doing. Me and God were working through some stuff. Still working through some stuff. I don't know that the journey is ever like complete, but last year was rough, like the end of last year. That was my first reason. So that's also my first value, living authentically. The second value is, or second value that I have, part of my ethos, is walking in what the Bible calls the unforced rhythms of grace. That is a big, big, like, pillar of my walk with God, the way I live my life. And if you've ever heard me pray, at some point that scripture comes up, because it really just is my anchor in and out of season. And that means that I go when God says go, and I don't go when God doesn't tell me to go, or at least I try. And I think I'm pretty committed to doing that, because I've learned in this life that God is the only one who can sustain me, sustain my projects, sustain my work, sustain my endeavors, sustain my marriage, whatever you want to fill that blank in with. God is the only one who can provide what I need him to. So I don't at any point pretend like I do any of this in my own strength. The ideas, the wisdom, the way the things flow, like everything is honestly God. So it was really important for me, and it is really important for me still, to check in with God and be like, what would you have me do in this season? Do you want me to do the same things you asked me to do last season? If you think about the story of Elijah and how at some point God provided for him at the brook, and at some point he provided for him through the widow. And if Elijah had been stuck on the way things were done in the past, he would have missed out on God's provision. So I am not really, I try not to be stuck on, like, this is how we did things last season. This is what you told me to do last season. So I'm going to presume that this is what you want me to continue. Because each season has its own challenges. God knows what each season is going to bring. Challenges, opportunities, blessings. So I like to check in with God. And I didn't really feel like that this past, I want to say, let's say 6 months, was a season where I was supposed to be pouring out in this way. I was pouring out in other ways, but I didn't think that this is what God was calling me to. And I've just found so much peace walking in the will of God and, like, living in the will of God. I found that there's protection within the will of God. There's peace of mind. When you're in the will of God, you're not striving. You're not forcing things to be that God has not called to be. I think that's when we can really get into toiling and striving. And I'm all about walking in the unforced rhythms of grace, okay? Like, striving, it doesn't suit my brand, honestly. I do it in the seasons that I do lean on my own understanding. I do end up striving. But the goal is to not strive, but to just walk in his grace. All of that to say, I prayed about it, and I know what it's like when God's anointing, his oil is on something. There's ease, there is inspiration, there is, like, I don't have to force anything. Like, and I was feeling like I was trying to force things when I was trying to record the podcast when God hadn't told me to. So that is my value/ethos number two, walking in the unforced rhythms of grace. And my third one is not really related to why I was gone, but it's still a very big pillar of my life, is living a poured out life. Everything I do is kind of examined against these values, this value system that I try to live by. So even this decision to come back and to record is because I am trying to live from a place of living a poured out life. What does that mean? When people think about their legacy, or when I think about my legacy, I think, what do I want to be known for? When my time on earth is done, what do I want to be remembered for? And I want to be remembered as somebody who lived a poured out life, who left this world empty, who gave all, she poured out all God put inside of her. And when I go and meet Jesus, I know I have spent it all, I've poured it all out, and I'm not taking anything with me. So that's really important for me. I want to be remembered as someone who loved Jesus and lived a life of radical obedience. And that sometimes looks like going slow when the world is going fast, and saying no when there are demands that people are making of you and expectations that people have of you. And that's what I did in this season. Jesus is my audience of one. And it was really important for me to recenter myself and remember my why. I'm very big on whys. Like, why am I doing what I'm doing? Because it is the why that will keep me going when the motivation has run out, when I'm tired, when I don't feel like doing it. I need a strong why. So in every season, my why is, I want to be obedient to what Jesus is asking me to do. And I feel like he's asking me to come back and to use the gifts that he's given me in this capacity. And so that's what I'm doing. So that was a quick, like, let's call that an about me section. Fun facts you didn't know about me. And why do I think it's important to have a value system? Like I said, every decision I make is vetted against this value system in some way, shape, or form. When I'm having a hard time making a decision and I'm presented with two options that look equally good, I vet them against my value system. Does this position me to walk in the unforced rhythms of grace? Does this align with me living a poured out life? Does this, I can't remember what the first one was. Anyway, I can't remember what the first one was, but you get the gist. Like, I vet my decisions against this value system. Another thing it helped me do was when I was ready to get married, it was easy for me to, or easier for me to kind of assess my husband and I's alignment. Like, do we agree on these pillars that are so foundational to the way I live my life? Do you understand the importance that these pillars have in my life and the way they affect the things I do and the way I live my life? I think it's difficult to assess whether you and someone else are equally yoked in terms of, like, do you believe in the same things if you don't know what you believe in? So, yeah. That's high-level overview of where I've been. First value was, is this me living authentically? It came back, just not when I needed it to, but that's okay. The next half of this episode, I kind of wanted to talk a little bit about things I have been challenged with in this recent season. When I say challenge, I don't mean there has been a resolution. I mean, I'm still walking it out. But I'm a firm believer, and I've probably said this before, in the fact that the stories we tell can help other people feel less alone in what they're walking through. And so I'm getting comfortable with the idea that I don't have to just bring fully fleshed out, fully resolved things to you guys, because sometimes it's just helpful to hear that you are not the only one walking through what you're walking through. So, again, I have three things that God has been teaching me that I've been wrestling with, whatever you want to call it, in this season. The first is that I like structure, and my love for structure makes me inflexible at times, because I like things to be done a certain way. And what this looks like in my relationship with God is I like the familiar. I have this memory of when I first found God for myself and bought my own Bible. And I really just, like, fell in love with the Bible. And I just, nobody prompted me to do it. I was just really excited. And I think I read the whole New Testament in like a month. I don't remember. But I was just really, there was a zeal, there was a fire for God. And I found myself chasing that experience, wanting to replicate it, wanting to bring it back, because honestly, that was when I felt most productive in my faith journey. And it's ironic because if I look back at that season of my life, was I living out the things that I was reading? No. So I had a lot of head knowledge, but it clearly wasn't translating to my heart. And maybe that's something that's different about this season. And God has been kind of telling me that, I think my husband is the one who gave me this analogy, that relationships are not linear in the sense that, like, that fire and the zeal that you had in the beginning is a constant throughout. It ebbs and flows like any other relationship. And there is the excitement and the passion and the wonder that comes with encountering someone or something for the first time, whether it's a romantic partner, a friend, or whatever. There is that initial fire of, like, oh my gosh, this is so new and shiny and exciting, and, like, I want to just consume it all. I want to live in this place forever. But the true test of the love or the relationship is how it can be sustained over a long period of time. Anybody can fall in love and have that initial spark. Can you stay committed 40 years in a marriage when the sparks have faded? So that's something that I've been thinking about recently, because when I say I went and bought another Bible, I bought markers, I bought like all the post-it notes I had bought in that season, trying to recreate that season in this season. And the Lord was just like, what if I don't want you to go back? Look, I am doing a new thing, but the old feels familiar. Isn't that what the Israelites said when they were, you know, in the wilderness? Like, take us back to what we know. Yeah, the promised land is ahead, but we've been here for so long that we'd rather go back to the evil that we do know. So letting go of my structure is what the Lord has been convicting me of in this season, and giving him space to move unhindered. Like, if I want to, he's been saying, if I want us to go on a walk, like, are you open to doing that? Or is there a checklist that you have boxed me into that I'm not allowed to step out of? And you wonder why you don't feel passion, you don't feel friendship, you don't feel relationship, but your structure has kind of made that a bit impossible. Like, yeah, you're checking your checklist off. You're saying you've prayed for 20 minutes, you read your Bible, whatever. But are you growing? Are you growing in love? Are you growing in passion? Are you growing in wonder? Are you growing in awe? And I wasn't. And so that is something that I'm figuring out. So maybe that's for you. Maybe your structure is making you inflexible, or your love for structure. Maybe that's something that you need to kind of submit to Jesus, like I'm trying to do. The second thing that the Lord has been talking to me about is discipline. I don't love that word. I don't love that word, because the truth is, I don't think I'm a very disciplined person. Whether it's the gym, whether it's like with habits, I just find it very difficult to stick things out when I don't feel like doing them. And that's not how life works. But it's interesting, because discipline in our relationships with God is supposed to lead to desire, or discipline is to lead to delight, delight will lead to desire, or the other. Discipline leads to desire, desire leads to delight. But I feel like I've been stuck in discipline, and that brings me back to my first point. Like, if that discipline is not progressing to a place of desire, there is something wrong. So I do need the discipline. I think that discipline is what takes you far and keeps you going when it's no longer fun. But balancing that discipline with the flexibility is a dance that I am learning in this season. What else has God been teaching me? And this happens every now and then, a bit of an existential crisis where I feel most valuable to God in life, whatever, when I feel like I'm operating in all my gifts. I've always been a high achiever, overachiever, whatever you want to call it. I've been a multi-hyphenate for a very long time. And I have loved reeling off like, oh yes, I'm a business owner. I'm a podcast host. I'm a this, I'm a that, I'm a makeup artist. I work this. And I got a sense of identity from all the things that I was able to do. But the issue with that is sometimes God calls us to slow seasons. There's a season for planting and there's a season for harvesting. And in the season when you plant, you don't see a lot of fruit. And that can look scary because, like, it looks like nothing is happening. But I have always thrived when I've seen fruit. I don't know if it's God that's calling it fruit or I am taking pride in what I think is fruit, but in a season where I wasn't operating in my gifts the way I had in previous seasons, doing speaking engagements, you know, whatever, doing a lot of things, being busy, I found that I was having an identity crisis. Like, who am I when I am not doing for God? Do I still have value? Can I still show up in spaces confident in my worth? Or has my sense of self-worth become so attached to the things that I do that I don't know how to show up before God when I'm not doing? And the truth is, what that doing and the busyness gave me was a sense of self-righteousness. I was able to feel like I was better than the next person or whoever because I could reel off a list of things that I was doing for God or ways that I was like operating in my gifts or whatever. But if my value, like I said in the beginning, is one of them is living in obedience to the will of God, then if God is calling me to rest, not resting is disobedience. And delayed obedience is disobedience. So if God says rest today and I say, okay, I'll rest in 1 week, that is still disobedience. So it's been interesting navigating all these things because they feel like real, like bedrock foundational stuff of the things I've believed about myself and my identity. And it feels like God in his kindness is unpacking them one by one and kind of saying, you can't go further with this weight that you've carried. Like, it has served you so far. You've made it to this point. But the next place I need you to go, come to with me, the next depth of intimacy I want us to experience, you can't do that with all this load. So it has felt a bit like shedding layers. Another thing I realized is I'm trying to find a balance between reading the scripture because I want to know God. I want relationship with God. I'm reading the scripture for, like I said, a sense of head knowledge because I feel like I tend to intellectualize my relationship with God, even like the things I go through. Yeah, I intellectualize my relationship with God, quite frankly. And God has been convicting me of like, are you coming to read this scripture so that you can like list off scriptures that you know and feel good about that? Or are you coming to read this Bible because you want to spend time with me? Because I would end up feeling frustrated when I read a scripture and I didn't have like a quotable, like heavy revy, as I like to call them, that I got from my quiet time. And at the root of that was like, I was so used to coming to God to pour out into other people that I couldn't remember how to just come to him for the sake of coming to him, not as a means to an end. And that was a hard blow for me because I am a service-oriented person. So God really took me through a season where I couldn't serve. And he was like, will you still look for me? Will you still search the scripture with all the zeal and the interest that you had when it was to teach or to share with other people? And that's something that I had to come face-to-face with in the season where I wasn't recording the podcast. Like, if you have nobody to talk to about this stuff, will you still read your Bible? And I can't lie, it was hard because I felt like, what's the point? I honestly felt like, how will I be able to measure whether I'm learning anything if I'm not sharing it with people? But by the time I was in those valleys with God, sharing was literally the last thing on my mind. I was just like, I'm trying to live. And I was reading the Psalms. I lived on the Psalms because that's all I could do. So it's been a journey. It continues to be a journey. And yeah, I'm excited for what will come out on the other side of these onion layer peelings and like who I will uncover there. And I'm excited for the new depths of relationship that I will get to experience with God once I lay off these weights that prevent me from running the race that's set before me. And I trust that God is going to journey with me in this. And let me know your thoughts. If you guys can relate to any of the stuff that I've shared, if you found things that have worked for you or God has revealed things to you, I would love to hear about them. So feel free to comment, send me a DM. I want to hear your thoughts. That's it for this episode. Like I said, there's no conclusion really to any of the things that I raised. Just sharing some of my values and some of the things that I am working through in this season. Until next time. Bye.